Chapter 20. And by return. What was that extra noise?
Officer, the Ormidable passed us by, my lord, and thumped a stunning broadside into us. But, on their side, the Euro's captain's fallen. Algeciras has been boarded too, by Captain Tyler, and the captain shot. Admiral Gravina desperately holds out. They say he's lost an arm. Nelson, and we, ourselves, who have we lost on board here?
Nay, but tell me.
Beatty, besides poor Scott, my lord, and Charles Adair, Lieutenant Ram, and Whipley, Captain's clerk, there's Smith, and Palmer, midshipman, just killed. And 50-odd of seamen and marines.
Nelson, poor youngsters. Scarred old Nelson joins you soon.
Beatty, and wounded.
Bly, Lieutenant. Pasco too, and Reeves, and Peake, lieutenants of marines, and Rivers, Westphal, Bulkley, midshipmen, with, of the crew, 100-odd just now, and reckoning those late fallen not brought below.
Burke, that fellow in the mizzen top, my lord, who made it his affair to wing you thus, we took good care to settle, and he fell like an old rook, smack from his perch, stone dead.
Nelson, 'twas not worthwhile. He was, no doubt, a man who in simplicity and sheer good faith strove, but to serve his country.
Rest be to him.
And may his wife, his friends, his little ones, if such be had, be tided through their loss, and soothed amid the sorrow brought by me.
Hardy re-enters.
Who's that?
Ah, here you come.
How, Hardy, now?
Hardy, the Spanish admiral's rumored to be wounded, we know not with what truth.
But, be as 'twill, he shears away with all he could call round, and some few frigates, straight to Cadiz port.
A violent explosion is heard above the confused noises on deck. A midshipman goes above and returns.
Midshipman in the background, it is the enemy's first rate, the chill, blown to 1,000 atoms.
While on fire, before she burst, the captain's woman there, desperate for life, climbed from the gunroom port upon the rudder chains, stripped herself stark, and swam for the Pickle's boat.
Our men in charge, seeing her great breasts bulging on the brine, sang out, "A mermaid 'tis, by God!" Then rowed and hauled her in.
Burke, such unbid sights obtrude on death's dyed stage.
Midshipman, meantime the chill fought on, even while the ship was blazing, knowing well the fire must reach their powder, which it did.
The spot is covered now with floating men, some whole, the main in parts, arms, legs, trunks, heads, bobbing with tons of timber on the waves, and splinter looped with entrails of the crew.
Nelson, rousing, our course will be to anchor. Let me know.
Hardy, but let me ask, my lord, as needs I must, seeing your state, and that our work's not done, shall I, from you, bid Admiral Collingwood take full on him the conduct of affairs?
Nelson, trying to raise himself, not while I live, I hope.
No, Hardy, no.
Give Collingwood my order.
Anchor all.
Hardy, hesitating, you mean the signals to be made forthwith?
Nelson, I do.
By God, if but our carpenter could rig me up a jury backbone now, to last 1 hour until the battle's done, I'd see to it. But here I am stove in broken all logged and done for.
Done, eh done.
Beatty, returning from the other wounded, my lord, I must implore you to lie calm. You shorten what at best may not be long.
Nelson, exhausted, I know, good Beatty.
Thank you well, Hardy, I was impatient. Now I am still.
Sit here a moment, if you have time to spare.
Beatty and others retire, and the two abide in silence, except for the trampling overhead and the moans from adjoining berths.
Nelson is apparently in less pain, seeming to doze.
Nelson, suddenly, what are you thinking, that you speak no word?
Hardy, waking from a short reverie, thoughts all confused.
My lord, there needs on deck, your own sad state, and your unrivaled past, mixed up with flashes of old things afar, old childish things at home, down Wessex way, in the snug village under Blackdon Hill where I was born.
the tumbling stream, the garden, the placid look of the gray dial there, marking unconsciously this bloody hour, and the red apples on my father's trees, just now full ripe. Nelson, eh, thus do little things steal into my mind too. But ah, my heart knows not your calm philosophy. There's one come near to me, Hardy. One of all, as you well guess, pervades my memory now. She, and my daughter I speak freely to you. 'Twas good I made that codicil this morning, that you and Blackwood witnessed. Now she rests safe on the nation's honor. Let her have my hair, and the small treasured things I owned, and take care of her, as you care for me.
Hardy promises.
Nelson, resuming in a murmur, does love die with our frame's decease, I wonder, or does it live on ever?
A silence. Beatty approaches.
Hardy, now I'll leave, see if your order's gone, and then return.
Nelson, symptoms of death beginning to change his face.
Yes, Hardy, yes, I know it. You must go. Here we shall meet no more. Since heaven forfend that care for me should keep you idle now, when all the ship demands you.
Beatty to.
Go to the others who lie bleeding there, them can you aid. Me you can render none. My time here is the briefest. If I live, but long enough I'll anchor. But too late my anchoring's elsewhere ordered. Kiss me, Hardy.
Hardy bends over him.
I'm satisfied. Thank God, I have done my duty.
Hardy brushes his eyes with his hand, and withdraws to go above, pausing to look back, before he finally disappears.
Beatty watching Nelson, ah, hush around, he's sinking. It is but a trifle now of minutes with him. Stand you please, aside, and give him air.
Beatty, the chaplain, Magrath, the steward, and attendants continue to regard Nelson. Beatty looks at his watch.
Beatty, 2 hours and 50 minutes since he fell, and now he's going.
They wait. Nelson dies.
Chaplain, yes. He is home to where there's no more sea.
Beatty, we'll let the captain know, who will confer with Collingwood at once. I must now turn to these.
He goes to another part of the cockpit, a midshipman ascends to the deck, and the scene over clouds.
Chorus of the pities,
aerial music,
his thread was cut too slowly. When he fell, and bade his fame farewell, he might have passed, and shunned his long-drawn pain, endured in vain, in vain. Spirit of the years, young spirits, be not critical of that which was before, and shall be after you. Spirit of the pities, but out of tune the mode and meritless, that quickens sense in shapes whom, thou hast said, necessitation sways. A life there was among these self-same frail ones Sophocles who visioned it too clearly, even while he dubbed the will he gods. Truly said he, such gross injustice to their own creation burdens the time with mournfulness for us, and for themselves with shame.
9.
Things mechanized by coils and pivots set to for framed codes would, in a thorough spurred melodic rule, and governance of sweet consistency, beset no pain, whose burnings would abide with that which holds responsibility, or in exist. Spirit of the pities, yea, yea, yea. Thus would the mover pay the score each puppet owes, the reaper reap what his contrivance sows. Why make life deader, when it did not buy? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.